now maybe we can, you can hear me. And all right. So the Bible said that in his heart he works iniquity. He practices hypocrisy. You know what's the main thing that people accuse Christians of? Is that right?
What church is full of hypocrites?
You know what the world's full of? Huh? What happens when your doctor tells you you got to quit smoking, then goes out and lights up? What happens when an officer pulls you over and writes you a ticket for speeding, and he gets late for a donut appointment and he's speeding to get there? What happens whenever they decide to throw a party and get drunk, and they drive home drunk, and the rest of the people doing the same thing? You talk about hypocrisy. The world is rampant with it. So don't you let people put that coat on you and call you a hypocrite, because the world is full of hypocrisy. Amen. Well, but we don't hide. Yes, you do. You hide behind your hypocrisy. Don't tell me. Yes, you do. The world's full of hypocrisy. The Bible says that the fool is a hypocrite. And it says they utter error against the Lord. Amen. Isn't it amazing that people will misquote the Bible? The devil, you know, every time he tries, he gets it wrong too. You know why he does? Because the Bible says the truth is not in him. He can't get it right because he has no truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. And the easiest way to tell when the devil's lying is when his lips move. Amen. That's when he's lying. And so he can't tell the truth. And people get to talking about God, don't know God. They'll speak error about God because they don't know him. And the Bible says they speak error against the Lord, and they make empty the soul. Amen. The way the world is offering people is it leaves emptiness on the inside. That's all it leaves. And they try to fill it up with all kinds of stuff. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, the big thing that we used to talk about then, I don't know about now, but they used to say, you got to find yourself. Well, I'd already been found, praise the Lord. When I was 15, I went down to an altar. God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was already found. I wasn't looking. Amen. What they were saying is, you need to experiment with drugs. And you need to try sex outside marriage. And you need to try this and try that and try that. You got to find yourself. No, you don't. That's what lost people do. Amen. Saved people don't have to go that road, because we got a book that tells us exactly where it leads and what it gets you into and the kind of life it will wind up in. Amen. Thank God for truth today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the empty soul. And then it says that they will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the foolish man. Let's see if I can get this thing to work there. There we go. This little lady here is named Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful countenance. And Nabal, that word Nabal, what does that mean? It means fool. And Nabal was churlish and evil in his doings. Amen. And so she was married to a fool. She actually called him a son of Belial. In other words, she called him a worthless man. Amen. You know, we got to be careful who we marry. Some people get in way too much of a hurry to get attached. Curlish is somebody that's thin-skinned, gets offended real easy, and snaps and snarls. And, that's the, kind of the idea behind that. And so you've perhaps met people like that. Kind of like trying to pet my chihuahua, you know, yeah. If you're a stranger. She's very curlish. Amen. And so that's what curlish is talking about. But Abigail was married to this man Nabal. David and his men had protected Nabal and his flocks for months of time. And they grew hungry, and they came to Nabal asking for food. And he cursed them and refused them. And so David went back and got his men and said, well, we'll just take care of this business. We'll just go take it all. We'll just kill you and take it all over. And so they were preparing for battle when Abigail went sent a messenger to David's men saying that, hey, I wasn't here when the servant came, but please don't respond in kind. He said, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. And I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord when thou didst sin. And so she's begging mercy, and she sent food to David and his men. And so David backed off and did not attack Nabal. The next morning, when she told Nabal, he got drunk that night, but the next morning when she told Nabal what she had done, the Bible says he had a heart attack, basically, that his heart turned to stone. And he lay there for 10 days and then died. And so this was a foolish man. And the Bible just simply says that he struck out. But thank God for people like Abigail, that was a faithful woman. She served the Lord faithfully and served David faithfully. The Bible talks about a man by the name of Abner. Abner left Saul's army and became faithful to David. And he was a captain in David's army. And yet he killed Joab, which was the chief of David's army. He killed his brother. And so Joab said he was going to destroy Abner. Abner fled to the city of Hebron, which was a refuge city. And he could live there until the high priest died. And then he could walk out free, and there's nothing that could be done as long as he lived in the safety of the walls of Hebron. And so he went, and Joab came and invited him outside the walls to have a talk. Big mistake. Amen. He should have said, no, you come in here and we'll talk. But instead, he went outside the walls of the city of refuge, or the safe city. And when he did, Joab killed him, and there was nothing that could be done. And so David said, the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, thy feet not put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. But he died a needless death. Amen. Now, here's the thing, folks. The devil is on a leash. God puts him on a leash. He can only go so far and do so much unless you step into his territory. Have you ever seen a dog on a chain? Amen. As long as you stay outside the length of that chain, you're okay. But if you get too close, he'll get you. Amen. And it's your own fault because you stepped beyond the limits. And many times people get themselves in trouble because they step into the devil's territory. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. The Holy Ghost leads us and guides us, doesn't it? But when we step into that territory, then we're outside the protection of God. We have opened ourselves to the devil's devices. And he'll nail us if we do that. So that's foolish. That's what happened to Abner. So a fool then steps outside the bounds of the mercy and the grace and the counsel of God. And that's what happened to Abner. Amen. So what voice do we hear? First of all, let's talk about the fool's voice. Amen. There's a verse in Luke here that said, this is a fool talking. He said, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, then, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what the fool said. I want you to notice that he had eye trouble. Five times in that one verse he says, I. It's I and my and me and mine. It's never about God. It's always about him. A fool is a selfish person. They're only concerned with themselves. And this man was a fool. As a matter of fact, the Bible said God called him a fool. He said, fool, he said, this night your soul will be required of you. And then what's going to happen to all your stuff? Isn't that amazing how people work so hard to get a bunch of stuff? And then when it's all said and done, who gets it? Amen. Who gets to fight over it the rest of their life? Amen. Kids get mad at one another, won't talk to one another, fighting over people's stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this was a fool. This man, he lived his life for stuff, and he died and left all of his stuff behind. And so that's the voice of a fool. It's a selfish voice. It makes no acknowledgement of God's blessing. As a matter of fact, James taught us to speak this way. He said, because that when they knew God, what happened to James? did I skip over it? They're just not in there for some reason. But anyway, let me read it to you. James said this. He said, go now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so you see the difference in a man saying, I and me and mine, look at all my stuff and mine and mine, and on and on. And instead saying, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. If it's the will of God, we'll do this. And you included God in your plans, then you have a future. You leave God out of your plans, and you don't have a future. Amen. And so that's the voice of a fool. Amen. Our pop culture, that is a part of what we, our world today and where we're living, is, I don't know if we can advance this thing. All right. But we live in a culture that has been created. Cultures change. And our culture has vastly changed in a very short period of time. I was reading in the news yesterday about a journalism convention that was held, and they invited high school students from all over the nation to the journalism conference, and there were thousands and thousands of young people there. And for this event, they chose a man by the name of Savage to address that meeting. His theme was he was supposed to talk about anti-bullying. Amen. Anybody remember bullies? Amen. He's supposed to talk about not being a bully. But you know what he did? He bullied people that were Christians and Bible believers. Because he's homosexual, married to a homosexual man. And so he gets up, and the first thing he did was to bash the Bible and to bash Christians that believe in the Bible. And what was he doing? He was bullying them and putting pressure on them in front of a crowd of thousands of people. And he did exactly against what his theme was. You see, but the fool has no reason. They can't think things through. Amen. You remember what we preached Sunday night? Why do the heathen rage? Because they're full of unrighteousness and ungodliness. And when they're faced with that, they get so angry and so mad. Amen. And it makes no sense. Why would people get mad and curse a God they say doesn't even exist? If you don't believe in Him, why get mad at Him? But you see, they can't help themselves because it's a spiritual condition. So they became angry, and He did the very thing. He spoke in a derogatory way. And you know what the people that sponsored the event said? Said, oh, these young people just have to get used to this kind of thing. So if you're a Christian, you have to get used to being bullied. But if you're not, then you're protected by the law and hate speech. It's okay to hate Christians, Bible believers. But don't you dare hate those that the Bible speaks against. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and we need to really lay hold of this. We're not supposed to hate anybody. I don't care who they are or what they're doing. We're not supposed to hate anybody. So if you hate somebody because of their sin, that's wrong. You need to repent. If you hate homosexuals just because they're homosexual and you are a homophobe, you need to repent because that's wrong. You need to love people. Now hate their sin. Preach against their sin. Love the people. Love the people. Amen. And so I can understand, but really, I don't know a lot of Christians that hate people. But you see, people, the fool doesn't take instruction. If you correct a fool, they get angry at you because you didn't let them do what they wanted to do. Amen. And so they don't entertain any other point of view. You got to accept me the way I am, and you have to accept what I'm doing is right. You can't speak against me. If you speak against me, you hate me. That's not true. I may love the person, hate their behavior. I taught my daughter that, you know. Now, babe, I love you, but we can't let you do what you're doing. Amen. Because what you're doing is not right. So that's called correction. That's called parenting. Amen. And so we hate behavior, but we love people. And we love souls. That's what we're supposed to do. We're here to save, aren't we? We're here to save people. But the Bible speaks of this same spirit here in the Scripture when it says in the book of Romans, and we read this last Sunday, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Everybody say thankful. Aren't you glad you can be thankful? If you ever lose your spirit of thanksgiving and your attitude of gratitude, that's a very dangerous indication that you're walking on some dangerous ground. We need to always be very mindful and be thankful. Oh, I thank God for the feeling of gratitude. I love being thankful, don't you? Hallelujah. It's a wonderful feeling to be thankful. Amen. And, you know, but some people lose that. We live in a world of it. Yes, we do. We live in a world where people have more than they've ever had and still not thankful. They want more. So-and-so's got more than I do. Huh? Well, so what? There's no reason to get upset, is it? Praise the Lord. Well, his house is bigger than mine. His car's newer than mine. Amen. His clothes are fancier than mine. He's got more money than I have. Well, do you have food? Do you have clothes? Do you have shelter? The Bible said, therewith be content. Amen. Just be happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, God, help us to get rid of the gimmies, you know? That's a childish thing. Gimme, 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 gimme. And some people never outgrow it. Amen. They have it their whole life. And so the Bible said they're not thankful. But because they're vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But they said, oh, we're wise. You got to listen to us because we're smart. Real smart. You got to listen to me because I'm smart. I got more degrees than a thermometer. Amen. But that doesn't make you wise. You can be educated and still be foolish. Because the Bible said wisdom comes from God. Amen. And so you could have a lot of knowledge and be unwise. And so that's a whole different subject. Amen. And so, but we live in a culture today that is anti-Christ. I'm very sorry to say. I don't think our culture by and large is, but the most dominant voices are. I think the culture, I just read another article this morning about the Bible in our society. The Bible is still a very popular book. Almost 70% of the people that were interviewed in this particular survey said they believe in the Bible, and they think that we still need the Bible, we need to listen to the Bible, that it has answers for life. 70% of the people still believe that, but our society does not reflect that. What are the voices that we hear? The voices that we hear are anti-Bible and anti-Christ. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. So another area that foolishness can come from is peers. You know, we can do some stupid stuff just being with the wrong people. Is that right? You know how most people get started smoking? Because of peers. We call that peer pressure. And that's how most people get started with it. Most people take their first alcoholic drink because of peer pressure. Most people, almost any sin that people are pressured into, it's because of the people they're with. Amen. So we need to be careful who we hang around. Isn't that right? And even in the church, that's good advice. If you're around somebody that's always negative and always got something negative to say and always talking about people and talking about church and talking negative about this and negative about that, that'll get a hold of you too if you're not careful. And you'll start talking that way and you'll start feeling that way. Brother Grissom, that was good. Thank you, sir. You just taught me something important today. Amen. And so peer pressure is not just for young people and it's not just for sinners. Amen. We got to be careful who we hang around. Amen. And then there is humanistic education. And in our public schools, that's about all that's left. Humanistic education. Humanistic education brought us such brilliant ideas as evolution. Amen. That we all evolved. We don't know from what. We don't know to what. We don't know the process. We don't have any kind of proof anywhere. But we're just supposed to believe that. Amen. Anybody ever heard the missing link? Let me tell you, all the links are missing. There ain't none. There's not one link anywhere. And so this idea is so foolish. And I know that if people heard me teaching this today, they would be very angry at me to say it doesn't exist. But fact is, folks, there's no proof. Zero. And yet it's taught in our schools as a proven science. But it's not. It just is not. You remember all the pictures? Remember those pictures you see of these guys, you know, and as they grow up, you know, their arms are long and they're real hairy and spotted over, and they start standing up a little bit better and their arms get a little bit shorter. Some of the hair disappears until finally they look like us. Anybody remember pictures like that? You know what? There's no proof of any of that. Zero. And you see pictures of dinosaurs? Everybody likes dinosaurs. We love dinosaurs. All kids love dinosaurs, don't they? But you know what? What we have about dinosaurs? Just a bone every now and then. We don't know what dinosaurs look like. All those pictures you see of dinosaurs came out of somebody's imagination. They put the bones together. Hopefully it was all the same bones from the same creature. We don't even know that. But they get all the bones together and then all of a sudden they decide what kind of skin he had and what color he was and how smart he was. And I mean, they got so good they could look at a scratch on a rock and tell you what school he graduated from. They're brilliant people. Well, it's all foolishness. Amen. But you see, the bigger the lie, the easier it is to swallow. And so fools have made fools of us. And here's the scary thing. Our science is founded on something that's false. If we could get back to a true foundation, only God knows what could happen. Amen. But that's humanistic education. That's where we are today as far as all that's concerned. And the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. The Bible speaks of these people, said they're ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. Amen. And then, of course, we have a foolish media today. And I will have to give this to the media. They have been relentless in their pursuit to put filth in our homes, in our hearts. We have decency laws on the books in the United States of America. But they have paid fines after fines after fines, and they keep pushing the boundaries back and back and back and making things more acceptable, making people less sensitive. Amen. Until now, nothing shocks people anymore. Do you know why cursing started? Because it was shock language. It was supposed to shock you when people use certain words. But now those words have just become almost common parts of some people's speech. It doesn't shock anymore. It may sicken you, but it'll not shock you because you've heard it all before. That's the society we live in. Our media is full of it. Amen. And the travesty is the people that write this stuff and expose you to this stuff. You know, it comes from one little clique until you think everybody's doing it. No, they're not. 70% of the people in the United States still believe that the answers to life are in the Bible. 70%! But you won't get that by listening to radio or watching a television or reading the newspaper or a magazine, because they're going to make it sound like that's the old stuff. No, we're not over that. We're still pounded. People still believe. But we don't have an outlet besides the church where we can hear this. Unless you really search for it. Amen. But thank God for truth today. I want to be faithful, not foolish. Amen. I'm going to end, and I didn't even hardly get started, but nonetheless, we're finished here. Amen. Remember what Jesus, at the rapture, you know what He's going to say to people? To everybody that makes the rapture, He's going to say the same thing. He's going to say, "Well done, thou good," help me out here, "thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Now that's what He's going to say. Praise the Lord. So you see, it boils down to being two things. Just be good and be faithful. Can you do that? We'll be like that little boy. Somebody said, "Can you be good for a whole day?" He said, "Uh-uh." Said, "Can you be good for an hour?" He said, "No, I don't think so." Said, "Do you think you could be good for a minute?" He thought long and hard. He said, "I believe I could make a minute." They said, "Then just be good minute by minute." Minute by minute. That's how we're going to make it, folks. Amen. Mile by mile, life's a trial. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Amen. We just got to keep it small. Keep it little. Don't look too far in the future. Amen. Put one foot in front of the other. Consecrated plotters. That's how we're going to make it to heaven. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and your attention today. Amen. Anybody come to worship Jesus Christ here this morning? He's good, isn't He? Amen. So let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Amen. As we come and change order, let's sing and worship. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, everybody.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, when he has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Oh, do you believe it? Are you glad today? Praise God, isn't he good to us? Oh, yes. God's good. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Amen. Do you believe that? We've been in revival, and I want you to know it's been real revival. Now, for those that haven't been in revival, you got the opportunity today. I'm going to tell you, yeah, you know what being revived is? Boy, it's a dead man come alive now. I want you to know that this dead man had a chance to come alive this weekend, and it feels good to be able to praise him in spirit. And if you, oh, I'm telling you what, I've had a good time this weekend. I expect even greater times today. Amen? Boy, I like seeing the smile. Man, look out. I said, Bubby, everybody, I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming to worship with us. And let's just worship God in song right now.
Oh, when I've got a right to be excited, I've got a right to shout. And I'm looking back to where I've already come from, knowing that he brought me out. Because he led me through the valley and he led me through the rain. He took away my heartache and all of my pain. So I've got a right to be excited, and I'm gonna sing and shout. Oh, and I've got a right to be excited. I've got a right to shout.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking back to where I've already come from, knowing that he brought me out. Because he led me through the valley and he led me through the rain. He took away my heartache and all of my pain. So I've got a right to be excited, and I'm gonna sing and shout. Oh, and I've got a right to be excited. I've got a right to shout. I'm looking back to where I've already come from, knowing that he brought me out. Because he led me through the valley and he led me through the rain. He took away my heartache and all of my pain. So I've got a right to be excited, and I'm gonna sing and shout. And there's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. Oh, a sinner has come home. And there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. And there's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine.
my sins forgiven. I am bound to heaven, nevermore to roam.
Yeah.
Oh, nevermore to roam.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, he's good to us today. I appreciate everything that he's done for me. My name is written there, and I've got a right to shout about it. I've got a right to be excited about it. I'm telling you, friends, I've got a right. Amen. God's good to me. I've got the right because my name is written in glory. Is your name written there today? And when he opens the book, will he find your name? Oh, if he does, you got a right. You got a right to shout about it. You got something to be excited about. We've got something we want to tell everybody about. You know what? And that's our commission today, to tell everybody about. Thank God we've got that right, because our name is written down in glory. Amen. You may be seated for a few minutes. We want to kind of hurry along, so what we're going to do is we're going to ask the brother if the prayer requests are ready. Do you have those ready to put up, brother? All right. I think you do. Or did he say just a minute? Uh-oh. All right, he put them up. All right, now, we have a few needs here today that we really need to pray about. Brother Robbie Morris. Y'all know who Brother Robbie Morris is? Who doesn't know Brother Robbie Morris? All right. Come on, you know Brother Robbie Morris. He needs our prayers today. He's hurting. He's in pain. Very much pain. Sister Covey's brother has a special need today. We need to pray for him. There's other, boy, you can see him right there, people that need healing. I'm going to tell you, they called and asked us to pray for them. They didn't call and ask just anybody. They wanted somebody that could reach the throne of grace. And friends, we're going to do that this morning. We're going to do that right now. We're going to reach the throne of grace. We're going to go boldly to the throne of grace and ask God to undertake in these things. Are we going to do that today? Come on now. We're going to have effectual, fervent prayer this morning for those that need it. There's names up there, the people that need healing, but also people that need salvation. They need a touch in their lives, and it's up to us to see that we go boldly to the throne of grace and ask God for these things. Amen. Oh, there's so many today, we can't mention them all. But let's just right now take these needs under consideration and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to be able to come to you and come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord God. We know, Lord, that you are able to save us. Lord, Lord, Lord,
and there is no telling what God will do.
Oh, hallelujah.
If we believe.
Yes, my Lord and my God.
And there is no telling.
Oh,
what God will do.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
If you believe.
If you believe today. Yes.
He'll heal your body. He'll save your soul. Send down your spirit. He'll take control.
Yes, he will.
Oh, there is no telling what God will do. There is no telling what God will do if you believe.
Oh, let's believe him today. Oh, yes.
There is no telling what God will do if you believe.
Won't you believe it today?
Ooh. He'll heal your body.
You know that he will.
He'll save your soul.
He'll save your soul.
Send down his spirit.
Yes.
And take control. There is no telling. There is no telling what God will do if we
believe that he's going to do it. Hallelujah.
Oh, there is no telling what God will do if you believe.
Yes, hallelujah. I believe it today.
He'll heal your body.
Yes, he'll do that.
He'll save your soul.
He'll save your soul.
Oh, send down his spirit. He will take control. There is no telling what God will do if you believe.
Oh, won't you believe it today? Believe it today.
Ooh. And he'll heal your body.
Yes, he will.
He'll save your soul.
He'll do that.
Send down his spirit.
Oh, let him lift you up.
There is no telling what God will do if you believe.
Yeah, believe it now, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe him? Oh, and I believe we got great things going on today. Praise God. Praise God for the great things he has for us. Right now, in the love of Jesus. I believe him. I believe him for all of my needs. I believe him for the needs of this church. Right now, in all of this, I can believe God. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Isn't he good to us? Oh, isn't he good to us? You may be seated one more time. Oh, hallelujah. Brothers, if you will, get ready. Come on with the offering place, if you will. You know, God's got so much for us because we don't ever give up. We just keep believing. You know, Paul and Silas didn't give up. Paul and Silas were in the jail. I mean, I'm talking about they were in a jail that's unlike any jail you can find today. They were in a jail. They were in the bottom of the dungeon, chained to the walls. And they began to praise God. How'd they praise God? Well, they couldn't lift their arms very much. They were chained, but they lifted their voices in praise. And you know, the jail began to shake. What's that, Brother Grissom? You say, to God. Yeah, he liked that song, and he started stomping his feet, and he shook things up. I'm going to tell you, he freed them because they believe.
Yes.
We can move mountains if we believe. Let's believe today. Ooh, I can't get past that hardly. Brother Bacon, would you stand right now and ask the Lord's blessing over this offering? Hey, 367. Oh, they got it up there. All right.
And when my ship comes in, I'll leave.